Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
D-Gen Nation fam, what is up? What is happening? This is the D-Gen Nation podcast coming at you live on a Thursday night. We are talking NFL DFS for the conference championship. It's me and the boy Kev Steele today. No Maddie D. Maddie has decided to take the week off because he's just tired of talking about the Chiefs. He's tired of talking about the Chiefs. It's what it is, Kev. He didn't want to talk about the Chiefs. He's in on Bills. He's in on Commanders this week, and so that would have been a fun one to have you guys go back and forth on that. But we got the two gamer. We're here to talk to the people about what they should be doing with their lineups, and you know how we get after it, guys. We're going to be breaking down this slate, and we'll see how long me and Kev are able to wax poetic for you guys, because, you know, even though it's still a two gamer, you know that we're going to get after it. Ryan Williams here at RyanAlexander_W is where you can find me on Twitter and X. Joined, like I said, by the usual suspect, Kevin Steele. Fantasy Wrath 13 is where you can find him on Twitter and X. That's the Godfather coming at you. Kev, how are you doing? How are you feeling this week? And we only got two more of these slates to break down, man. So we're going to be talking about your team both times, or what's going on down there? How are people feeling out in KC land about the team?
I mean, you get to a point where, you know, you've done so many of these, it's like normal week, you know, it's not. When you've been four of the last five and won three of the last five, it's kind of like, okay, another one, here we go. This is really when the season starts, though, for the Chiefs, is when the playoffs start. So
I wish we could play audio back from the days before, Patrick Mahomes, because Bronze is the third, right. When you just used to be hopeful, you used to be begging for the Chiefs to do anything come playoff time. I mean, that was when it was bleak.
That was like Alex Smith years, right? I remember they lost the Steelers, first team ever to not allow a touchdown, and they scored two touchdowns and they still lost to the Steelers and field by field. I think it was like 16-14 or something like that. That happened, or it's like 15. I don't remember what the score was, but then they lost to the Titans, and that was the game that Marcus Mariota tipped the ball to himself and scored. And then like the Chiefs have had a rough. Like the Chiefs hasn't always been great to be a Chiefs fan. I remember 2000s, the late 90s, it was really bad. So, you know, people act like this has been great for the Chiefs forever, and it hasn't. Believe me, there's been a lot of tough times as a Chiefs fan. Not since Patrick Mahomes has come along, but yeah. So
that's.
But I get it too, like because like I've been kind of there's a part of this like tired of hearing all the rhetoric around like, oh, versus the refs and everything else. Like I'm just like, can we stop this? But like at the same time, I remember back when the Patriots and their dynasty was on, was running and everything else, and how that felt. So. I get it. People are just tired of seeing the Chiefs, tired of seeing them win, tired of them, they want something new. Like, everybody wants Bills and Commanders, which I would love to see the Commanders go. Like, I think it's a good, I think it's a good spot for them. So, like, definitely. It's been a fun year to see Jaden Daniels and how well he's played. And I know you're wearing that Bears hat, and you're probably just hoping that he doesn't go to the Super Bowl because, like, man.
I mean, we got Ben. You know, we got Ben Johnson right now. So I think, you know, we're all right. We're doing okay. Like, you can't do anything. You can't go back in time in the draft. So we're rocking with Caleb. Like, that's our guy. And you know, Jaden's having a great year. But like, you know, I remember C.J. Stroud having a good year. Last year, not to this extent for sure, but you know, look what happened in the sophomore year. So I think, you know, we're fine. Like we know we got to do, we got to handle our business, but at least we have something positively to talk about in Chicago. Because yeah, if it wasn't for that, then the Jaden Daniels thing would be carrying a lot more weight. But no, I mean, you got to give flowers and credit where credit's due. I mean, this kid is having one of the most remarkable, if not the most remarkable, rookie campaigns like of all time. And if he is to go to the Super Bowl, like, it probably is, you know, up there with, you know, I guess Marino, of taking, you know, a team. I believe Marino was a rookie, right? You know, it takes a team to know.
This would be the first time ever if he goes, would be the first time a rookie quarterback's ever went to the
Super Bowl. Damn. Okay.
Cause I thought it was Ben that went, but it wasn't.
Ben was in the second year, I believe.
Yeah.
First rookie ever. That's just crazy. So yeah, I am kind of rooting for that. You know, let's see what the Commanders can do. And, you know, just think about, like, I mean, the Commanders and Chiefs, you know, in the Super Bowl, like, I mean, that's just going to be, you know, that's like Star Wars type of shit. You know, that's like the Republic, you know, the Empire and the Republic, and everybody will just be rooting against the Chiefs. It'll be like the Patriots and Giants, you know, the round one matchup. So and that would be fun. I think that would be fun, you know, just to kind of witness and see what all goes on there. I think, you know, I've gotten bets laid down even before the playoffs started. You know, I think the three-peat feels like destiny almost with this team. I mean, we'll see. You know, they're going to be playing the Buffalo Bills, and obviously we'll be doing the two-game breakdown. But I'd said it to you, Kev, like 2 weeks ago. Like I think KC matches up better with Buffalo than people want to realize. I think the Baltimore thing would have really shook some things up. Obviously the health of Zay Flowers would have been, you know, a key one if he could have gone to that matchup and what have you. So you factored that in, I suppose. But, you know, this Buffalo defense is a little banged up. You know, and just Josh Allen, you know, he can put on the Superman cape. And he could go out there and put up points as he's done in these matchups in the past. But like when it comes to the postseason, it doesn't seem to be enough. You know, the Chiefs just have the number for whatever reason, whether that's the refs on their side or, you know, just divine destiny. So it's going to be a fun day. It's one day. We got two games on Sunday. How it should be, how it was meant to be. And I'm excited to break this down with you, Kev. So shout out to everybody who's coming in, rocking along with us on the DGEN Nation podcast. Like I said, we're going to be breaking down this two-game slate for you. And Kev, this is one of the more interesting, you know, two-game slates to approach, especially from my standpoint, and I think possibly from your standpoint. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, we've talked about him from a DFS perspective on this show probably more than I think a lot of people, to be honest with you, like across the industry. Like we just, you know, from a DFS standpoint, we just kind of been, I guess, chasing the tail with this offense, you know, in good spots all year, whether it be, you know, the Black Friday against the Raiders or other, you know, other favorable matchups, the Patrick Mahomes against the Buffalo Bills earlier on in the regular season, the Patrick Mahomes last week. And, you know, for whatever reason, you know, like even that game last week, you know, they get the kick return, you know, for 70 yards or whatever it was. And I'm like, man, like Patrick Mahomes lineups are going to be looking great. Like we got them already in the red zone to start this game. And like, let's go against the Texans. They could just be going, but they've just been in positions where they haven't, you know, haven't been pushed necessarily, I guess. And now you get this game where it's like, all bets are off on what's going to happen. And, you know, we talked about a pre-show. Both of these games are at a 47.5 total, but I really like, you know, this Chiefs and Bills game, you know, to be an absolute bonanza and slugfest, because I think that just, you know, both of these teams know that they need to put up points to win, even though, you know, I think Spagnuolo is going to do whatever he can to scheme, you know, to limit production. But sometimes it just doesn't matter with Josh Allen. And then on the other side, we know the Bills defense is dealing with some injuries as well, too. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes just, you know, from a matter of like pride standpoint, I guess, so to speak, there's so many like narratives like Travis Kelce needs like 200 and something yards to pass Jerry Rice all time and like postseason receiving yards, like, you know, going back to the Super Bowl, like, you know, and it being on them, Josh Allen being on the other sideline, like, we know what time it is with when these two teams match up. And I just feel like, you know, I don't know if we're going to get that slug of a game that we've kind of been seeing, you know, in the postseason. Anytime there's points projected to be scored, we kind of get the opposite effect, except for the, you know, Commanders and Lions. And then we have this Commanders in Philly game that kind of starts off. And, you know, we're talking about quarterbacks on this, like, have like, okay, so if that game, like if you get a 20-17 game out of this, which, you know, it's a divisional matchup. These teams have played twice already. I get it. Like it's Jaden Daniels and Hurts on the other side, Saquon Barkley as well. But, you know, we got Hurts dealing with injury. The Commanders defense has been so, I mean, they've been definitely playing above their skis and they've been getting turnovers. Like what happens if there's no turnovers for this Washington offense, who actually struggled a lot with this Philly defense in the regular season? Like we could get a game that really, you know, disappoints from a fantasy perspective. And then there's, you know, Chiefs and Buffalo waiting. So if you go and try and stack this game up, like you could be sitting dead and just having lineups pass you in that 5:30 slot. So I'm kind of building right now as, you know, getting as much exposure to that game I have while taking, you know, of course, taking the shots on, you know, one or two pieces. But I think for me, it's like I can do so much with Mahomes builds this week. I mean, even, you know, Josh Allen on the other side, because he's put up some good fantasy matchups, I think it makes some sense to take Josh Allen, but with some Chiefs pieces. How are you attacking the slate and, you know, what I expect to be, you know, a popular Jaden Daniels? I don't even know what his price tag is. He's 7K. So, you know, I think that people look at that, you know, he's the rushing quarterback. He definitely has upside. Even, you know, Josh Allen's only $500 more. So I could see people just paying up for quarterback. But, you know, I think Mahomes sitting there at 6K definitely makes for an interesting scenario. It's just how are you going to play, you know, how are you going to play the slate and what are you doing in that first game?
I think in terms of like the first game is easier to stack, right? Like with the Eagles, if you want to go with an Eagles stack, you know, it's going to be either A.J. Brown or, you know, Devonta Smith, Dallas Goedert. Like those, like it, you're not going to really have to worry about these other like ancillary pieces. And then on the other side of that game, it's pretty similar, right? You have Jaden Daniels, Terry McLaurin, and then you have guys like Zach Ertz or De'Ami Brown that you can throw in. But with the second game, it's much more up in the air because as we've seen, there's really nobody this year that's really stood out for Josh Allen and the Bills outside of Josh Allen. You know, Khalil Shakir's been fine. And on a slate like this, maybe 15, 16 fantasy points is probably maybe enough to be in the optimal. But we have also seen where, like, he just doesn't bring anybody with him. And that's the problem with trying to, like, stack this game, right, with the second game. And the same with the Chiefs. Like, it could, I mean, it could be Kelce. It could be DeAndre Hopkins. It could be Hollywood Brown, it could be Xavier Worthy. Like, there's a lot of different ways this can go, so it's not as consolidated of a stack, and you're just kind of taking shots and flyers on a lot of these guys, where in that first game, it's much more consolidated, and if that game hits, then it's a lot easier to be able to get there versus the Chiefs side or the Chiefs game where it's not. And so, like, I think that's one aspect to look at this. So, I mean, you have Jalen Hurts, who's 6,500. Like, that also feels way too cheap. Now, he hasn't been like, I mean, he definitely has some ceiling spots this year. Scored 28 in week 15, 24 in week 14. And he has a 30 burger in week 10, 29, 35. So he's definitely had his ceiling games. Recently, he hasn't been as good, but they also really haven't been pushed as much to have to throw the ball. And as we know, when it comes to the Eagles, like if you allow them to, like they will just run the ball the entire game and they will not open up this offense and they'll throw the ball, you know, 15, 20 times. And so like that's going to be the question here with that game is can the Commanders push them? And I know the Commanders, you know, beat them, you know, week 16. That was that, you know, that awesome comeback. Now, if you also remember, though, that was also a game that Jalen Hurts barely played, got knocked out in the first, you know, in the first quarter. And then, you know, he wasn't even playing in that game. And so this is going to be a little bit different of a team, a little bit different of an offense. But, like, I think that's how that game goes off, is if that if we end up getting Jaden Daniels and this Commanders offense being able to push. Because we did see, even in the snow last week, the Rams, especially down the stretch, where they opened things up, they got into a no-huddle offense, and it really that's when all of a sudden their offense started to move the ball. And that's something the Commanders have been doing for most of the year, is playing this no-huddle offense. They've been doing it, especially in the playoffs. And so, I think then that maybe the pace gets pushed. And if that's the case, then that's where we really want to attack that game. Because it does worry me when it comes to the Chiefs. We have that game, and it's probably always going to be lodged in our mind, the crazy, 13-second game with in the playoffs where that game went nuclear. I don't expect that. I think it's much likelier where that game's like a 24-20 type of ball game. These teams know each other so well. They play each other so much. They play each other every year in the playoffs, or mostly every year in the playoffs. Then they play each other pretty much every year in the regular season. And so these teams are really familiar with each other as well. And so I feel like there's a better chance that the first game could go off, and where I think it's easier to stack. It's easier just to kind of do some one-off pieces on the Chiefs side or the Bills side. I don't necessarily love the Bills side. I love it even less, because they just really consolidate everything. I mean, you're getting a couple targets here, a couple targets there. I tried to play a lot of Dalton Kincaid last week. That didn't work out. Amari Cooper, apparently they just traded for him for no reason, because he's not out there doing anything. He's out there running a couple routes. And so, it's all over the place. Curtis Samuel's involved. And so, to me, if you're going to play a Bills stack, to me, I think I'm okay with going Josh Allen and James Cook there. And then if you want, I think you can play, like I said, Khalil Shakir, because he is kind of the guy. It's just with Khalil Shakir, he has no ceiling. He hasn't really shown much of a ceiling at all this year, but he's probably a pretty safe bet to give you, probably 12 to 15, I think is pretty safe.
Yeah, I think, we can, it's a two-game slate, so we can treat it as such, but Shakir is a lock for me, dude. It's been tough to justify playing him the bigger the slate is, because like you said, we got so many spread it around offenses on the slate that it makes it tricky to know where the touchdowns are going to go. And basically with the Bills, it's the same, it's the same scenario as the Eagles. We get in close, we're running the football. Josh Allen isn't even asked to pass in the red zone. He's just going to take it himself, or they're going to hand the ball off. So from a touchdown equity, it's been tough. But when we're thinking about it, and how much stuff gets funneled, to the middle of the field against this defense that Spagnuolo runs. And it's usually the tight ends, right, that are able to eat up against this defense. But Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox are afterthought. I mean, Dalton Kincaid's snap shares have been, I know you always look into the numbers, Kev, but I know they've been low, compared to what we expected, to have happened in this offense. And Shakir's just been that dude who's really taken over, the usage for this team. I mean, his first read, targets have to be off the charts with Allen, especially in the postseason thus far. He's just been the dude. And so at 5,700 on a two-game slate, I'm just going to play him whether I'm playing Allen or not, and just seeing that, the thing on paper, everything that we've seen so far is that they want to get this dude the ball. And at 5,700, I'm worth taking that. Like you said, I mean, I'm through chasing Amari Cooper for sure. Even Keon Coleman, the touchdown equity, I mean, he could get red zone looks, but how many times are they going to pass it? Or is it just going to be Ty Johnson who's able to come in there and run splits, or Curtis Samuel or Matt Collins, who all guys who are in the mix? It's so frustrating. So, I'd rather just take a cheap option or on Buffalo to pair with, or just take Shakir and hope the volume, does get through there. I'm not sure what his end zone targets are. I'd have to look at it. I know that it's not high, but if you're getting all the production from him outside of the end zone and he happens to break one, you'll be chilling with him. I like that you brought that up, Kev, about where the ball is going, because I think with Buffalo for sure, it is tough to predict. Washington is kind of getting that way, although Zacchaeus, I know he's getting in limited practices, but he's kind of banged up. So, I think we know that they're either going to run it, right? And if they're getting in close, like it most likely is Brian Robinson. If it's not Daniels, they've seemed to want to do that, at least what they've shown us so far in the postseason. But like we really got like three guys, I think, there. If Zacchaeus is banged up with Dyami, McLaurin, and Ertz, so it makes it a little bit more condensed. The Chiefs are the tricky one, because while I do think that there's a lot of options, and I know you kind of mentioned Hopkins last week, probably getting more unleashed now that the regular season is over, and they had incentive to be holding them out. It still feels like they really know where they want the ball to go. And if this is like really a close game, like I think that the ball is going to Kelce and Worthy. I mean, they did that last week against the Texans, who I think they knew that they were having a hold on and could beat handedly. And it was just, let's just go to our dudes. And if this is somewhat a competitive game, or if they are in a trailing game script, then Kelce and Worthy are the two dudes that I want to target first and foremost. And honestly, like the schemes for Hollywood Brown were really interesting. So, dare I say that Patrick Mahomes, like triple stacks are in play this week, which kind of, it seems counterintuitive to how we've been attacking, the Chiefs kind of all year. But like, yeah, if Justin Watson is able to score a touchdown, or Juju is able to score a touchdown, or maybe even Noah Gray, I think has high propensity. Like, yeah, you kind of feel gross about it. But I think the likelihood is that they want to get their guys involved. So, which is what puts me on Mahomes, in that regard. Hurts is the really one that I'm going to have some trouble with this week, because I really want to know what's going on with that knee. If they really want to limit his rushing, I think that does hurt his outcome just a little bit. On the other side too, they have a Washington team that's been aggressive pretty much all season long, and that hasn't changed in the postseason. They're going for it the most. I think they've only punted a handful of times so far in the postseason, maybe only once. Like, it's actually been pretty crazy to see what this Washington team's been able to do. So we could get like a Jalen Hurts force thing. It's just, damn, like, what the fuck? I don't know. It's so hard to trust. Like, AJ Brown has been non-existent. Like, Devontae Smith hasn't been consistent. The one guy who I do love at the tight end position is Dallas Goedert. I think that he's actually had some decent looks. He's had great postseason numbers over the past couple of years with Jalen Hurts. And I think they kind of, tried to do that last week against the Rams and lean on him. So, I think there are some ways to get to some double stacks on Jalen, but I'd probably look in the more traditional, unconventional route, I guess, than thinking of like the AJ Brown and Devonta Smith, or like a Devonta Smith and Dallas Goedert, I think makes sense. But I just don't know how we get away from Saquon too. So like, I don't know how many pieces I want tied up. It's kind of weird, man. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, just like talk about it. You were mentioning like the Bills, right? So like, and it is the truth. Like, I think. Khalil Shakir, like, just in the playoffs so far, Khalil Shakir is seeing a 40% first read target share. The next closest are three players, all tied at 12.1%, and that is Keon Coleman, Amari Cooper, and Dawson Knox, all have a 12.1% first read target share. And he's just seeing just a massive amount of work. I mean, he's seen 13 targets. The next closest is five targets for Dawson Knox and Curtis Samuel right now. And so, like, I think he's a clear cut, like, whether he's a clear-cut piece, whether you are going to stack him with Josh Allen, a run back, or just kind of a one-off piece, just because of how involved he is in the offense. He also tends to play a lot from the slot, which is also going to be the one area that we really – he ran 73% of the routes from the slot this year, and that is really where you attack the Chiefs, is from the slot. Or the middle of the field. And so if it's not going to be the tight ends, then I just think everything aligns for Khalil Shakir to be a big, big part of this offense, and like he has been. And I just think he becomes to a player that you're just going to want to have in all your lineups. Like, he's 5,700. He's not expensive. As far as the quarterbacks are concerned, it's like, oh, like how I would want to play them. One, like, I think with this being a two-game slate, like, it's like we're not telling any secrets here. Like, the best approach here is trying to just really go all in on a game, and then just completely stack it and maybe have a piece or two from the other and hope that, one of these games goes nuclear and that's how you're going to win everything. Right. I think spreading it out between the two games isn't necessarily as optimal. So Like I said, like I think that the first game is a little bit easier to get to because I think it's just a little bit more obvious on how to attack these spots. Jaden Daniels, I think, with Terry McLaurin, obviously, but you know, Jaden Daniels is right now projected to be the best quarterback on the slate. He's just ahead of Josh Allen. It's kind of Josh Allen, Jaden Daniels. Now, with Josh Allen, you can also just play him naked. Like, you don't have to stack him. Like, we've said this before, like, he could easily get there on his own with his rushing ability, with his being able to run the ball in. But Josh Allen, Jaden Daniels, and then after that, it's Patrick Mahomes a little bit here. But there's also a big price difference between the two. And here's going to be the caveat with the slate is everybody's going to play Saquon because there's no other running back that even remotely makes sense to play outside of Saquon Barkley. So on a two-game slate, he's going to be 90%, 80%, probably 80% more realistically, depending on the size of the slate, depending on – like, I don't hate, like, getting different, like, having some lineups without him because if he were to fail, that is going to be a massive leverage on the field if Saquon doesn't get there. But everything sets up for him to be just the nut play. But if you're going to play guys like Josh Allen or Jaden Daniels – you have to make some sacrifices with this, unless you're, because if you're going to play Saquon, who's $8,600, he's drastically more expensive than all the other dudes, then there's going to have to be some sacrifices where maybe you can't get to like an A.J. Brown or Terry McLaurin and feel comfortable with how your lineup's built. And so I'm okay with when it comes to this, like with playing a Patrick Mahomes on this slate and not going with Josh Allen or – because I think it's a little bit easier on that. And so for me, if I had to rank these quarterbacks, like with price included, I would still go Jaden Daniels one. We know he's going to run the ball. They've been running him a ton, a lot of design runs on this game. And if they're going to even be close in this game, they're going to need Jaden Daniels to once again be that dude. So I still think even though he's probably going to be probably the highest projected own quarterback, I think I still would say it's probably like 35-40% at most. Like, it's still going to be pretty evenly spread out between these four quarterbacks. And so I'm okay with going with Jaden Daniels. I would then probably go, price included, Patrick Mahomes slightly ahead of Josh Allen. And then Jalen Hurts would be last because I'm just a little bit more concerned with this Eagles passing offense. It has been a big problem for them all year. If they were to fall behind like the Lions did, can this offense – throw their way out of it? Can they get back on track like that? So that's a question for me. And if he's limited at all running, it really lowers his ceiling, even though I don't hate the price. So that's how I would view those four quarterbacks if it was me.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think for me, it's it'll be interesting because I think Washington, I actually like Washington to win this game, at least to cover. I bet on them at this. I think it's 6.5 is where I got it at, actually earlier today. But I'm having trouble getting to stacks that I like of Washington. So that's kind of the weird thing there for me. But yeah, I think this will probably be the first game will probably be the game that I'm lighter on. And I think I'll just probably take my chances and, you know, just wait to have all the PMR that's left on DK without, you know, I think Saquon, and we'll talk about running back, you know, next, but, you know, I think I'm going to be building with Saquon. I'm going to probably, you know, be playing most in single entry lineups or three max, and I'll just take the bullet there as he's only 8,600. It's kind of crazy that they really didn't price him up to the 9K range and make it more of a struggle to, you know, build lineups with him. It's not that really, it's not hard at all to build lineups with Saquon and feel pretty good about him. But yeah, I think for me, it's probably, you know, Mahomes, then Allen, just because I like taking chances on that second game. And then I guess just out of default, I'm probably going to have to take Jaden because I like the Commanders, but I would probably like more Jalen Hurts stacks in tournaments over Jaden. So Jaden might be the fourth guy for me, which is really crazy because I think the upside for him definitely will show through. And I think optimizers would give you as such, but that's kind of just my, you know, you got to take stands. And so that's, I'm just going to take a stand on a lower scoring game and just hope I get the touchdowns right. Or even like, you know, a guy like Brian Robinson or maybe Austin Eckler take two. So let's talk about running backs, Kev, because it really does become like, it pretty much is like you have to get the running backs right on the slate. Obviously, you have to get all the positions right to be able to win the tournament. But like running back specifically, when we only have one pay up option like this at Saquon, and your next guy is James Cook, 6,900, who has to share his rushing equity with not only Josh Allen, but then also like Ray Davis is now all of a sudden in the mix after concussion protocol. Like how tilting was that to see him like score a touchdown last week when I thought he was going to be unlimited steps and I had a ton of Ty Johnson. No, not frustrating at all. But then, you know, also Ty Johnson is in the mix and had a great matchup, you know, had a good outing in this matchup earlier on this season. Like, is the pass catching back for them? He's going to be in the mix. So it's tough to get to a guy like James Cook. So then you go all the way down to the 5K range. And that's the likes of Brian Robinson, Pacheco, Eckler, and Hunt. And then you have the 4K range, which is like the only guy I really like in the 4K range is Ty Johnson. I'm not going to chase Ray Davis in this matchup against the Chiefs. I'm going to let that slide. And I guess the ultimate, I don't even want to call it leverage because it's really not leverage, but just the ultimate GPP play of all time would be to take a Kenneth Gainwell and think that, like, does he fall into, like, double-digit points by scoring a touchdown and getting something going if something were to, you know, happen there, or Philly's able to handle it, you know, appropriately. So, but, you know, that's like a millie maker play. I don't know how many lineups I'd have to build before I get to that. So it really is straight up for me. Like, I'm going to be playing Saquon, and then I start to build the rest of my lineup, and the RB2 slot is just whoever I can fit in with what I feel like is great on that other side. I think I'll look at Ty Johnson. I'll probably look at Austin Eckler, although I'm really starting to come around to Brian Robinson, because if I'm not going to get Jaden Daniels exposure, if they are going to be running this guy, you know, inside the red zone, I'm willing to take shots on him. It's just this Philly defense is so tough. So it's really hard to, you know, see that happening. But Kyren Williams got off to a great start. You know, they just were in a hole. So Matt Stafford was forced to throw. But if we could get, you know, some equity out of Brian Robinson, that'd be nice. Kev, what are you doing at the running back position?
Well, first, especially here, Scott, who are your top cash plays on DK? Like, I mean, obviously Saquon would be just a clear one. I mean, just
Saquon for sure.
Block him in. And then I think it would be Travis Kelce would be a pretty easy, I think, two, I would think. Then after that, like, like that's what I'm kind of talking about. Like, there's not like then after this, these obvious, like, you're jamming these guys in plays.
Yeah, I think Saquon is definitely far and away the cash game. You know, you just have to play him. I would honestly then say Shakir over Kelce, as weird as that sounds. It just seems like he has that role and he's cheaper. So you put it in Shakir. Kelce, I think everywhere you're going to see optos that get to him. So I think that's a fine stand. And then I mean, that fourth play is tough. I honestly, you know, probably defense and maybe going Eagles D. I don't know. The fourth one is really tough, but I think you start off with, you know, those three, that block of Kelce, Shakir, Saquon, and build it out from there. I would imagine, honestly, if I was doing a cash team, I would probably lock in Josh Allen at 7,500. I mean, he's you know, not that much more expensive than Jaden Daniels. And he's going against a Chiefs team where he's going to have to do everything. And this dude runs it in, he throws it in. Like, you might, you know, I think he has the highest ceiling of any quarterback on this slate. And you're going to want to think that you can get the points. And like you said, Kev, you can easily play him with naked or with just Shakir and you'd be fine. So that's probably where I'd go.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on the Shakir call too. So, yeah. It's hard to imagine playing cash on a two-game slate. It's just a lot harder. But I will say this. So, like, in terms of the running backs, you know, we kind of got to, like I said, there's not a lot to bring up Saquon. I mean, he's just an easier, you know, he's locked him in. I do think that one thing you could look at is, I will say recently, that the Chiefs' run defense hasn't been as good as it was earlier in the season. Like, since week 15, and this includes, you know, the division around the playoffs, the Chiefs are allowing 143 rushing yards per game, a 5.86 yards per carry, which is the highest rate in the league over that span. They've also their yards before contact per attempt is the third highest rate in the league at 2.55. So, like, I definitely think there's a I definitely think that James Cook is definitely somebody that should be in play, even though at $6,900, because the Chiefs' run defense just hasn't been as good. We saw last week Joe Mixon kind of get there at like almost 90 yards on the score in that game. And so I do think James Cook, who got a little bit more involved, like that's been the frustrating thing of him a little bit, that he just hasn't really been involved in the passing game. But we did see it last week where he was targeted three times. So I wouldn't be surprised if he once again is a little bit more involved in the passing game. And this is a substantial, this is a, like the Ravens run defense has been elite too this year. But the Chiefs run defense has started to struggle a little bit. Now, in terms of the other running backs, I would prefer Kareem Hunt to Isaiah Pacheco. I just don't think Pacheco is the same dude he was prior to the injury that he has. Same injury, very similar injury to a Mark Andrews, similar injury to Tony Pollard, where we really saw those guys really struggle for the first like half after they came back. And then they finally kind of started to look much more like themselves over the second half of the season. And so with him just being, you know, obviously, he hurt himself this year. I just don't think Pacheco is going to end up being that guy. Kareem Hunt is definitely going to be the goal line back. And I'll say, like, Kareem Hunt actually looked, with that long break, very much like the guy he was early when the Chiefs brought him back versus towards the end of the year, because he looked run down by the end of the year because he was basically the only dude getting all the touches. Last week, just looking at the kind of the bell cow and how this played out, Kareem Hunt still only handled 50% of the snaps, and then Pacheco came in at 30%, and Samaje Perine was 20% last week. But I still think Kareem Hunt makes the most sense. We know you can run the ball against the Bills. The Bills have struggled this year against the run. In terms of the just overall in the season, the Bills are the worst run defense of the four remaining. Like I said, there is that scenario where, you know, they do split up a lot of touches, but Kareem Hunt just likely makes the most sense to me no matter what, because they'll involve him in the passing game. He's going to be probably the red zone guy. And so I think it just makes the most sense to play him at $5,400. I think when it comes to the Commanders running backs, I think this is a scenario where you tell yourself, okay, how do I think this game plays out, right? I think this is going to be a trailing game script for the Commanders, which isn't really something we've seen a ton from them in terms of the playoffs, right? I mean, they dominated the Lions last week. They had the lead for the majority of that game. They kind of did, you know, similar against the Bucks, and so like we haven't really seen much of a trailing game script with Austin Eckler come back. And also last week, Austin Eckler was definitely the preferable pass catching back in that backfield. It was just they had such a lead, they didn't really have to throw the ball as much. And so I think in this spot, I think you could actually see Austin Eckler utilized a little bit more. And so he would probably be the third or fourth guy that I would want to play, you know, in this game at $5,300. I don't have as much interest in Brian Robinson. Philadelphia has been really good against the run. I think if Austin Eckler gets there.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's going to have to be through the air. I will say, though, Austin Eckler has looked good in the limited opportunity that he's had over the last couple of weeks since coming back from that concussion. And then, like I said, I think James Cook is kind of a sneaky play where I think most people are going to go Saquon and then one of these cheaper 5K running backs. And I think James Cook gets overlooked a little bit. And I think that's a little bit of a mistake because the Chiefs run defense has started to show some cracks.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting call out there for James Cook. And I mean, the Bills are – you know, I think we look at implied team totals, right? And so you think the Bills are scoring points, and if you're not getting to Allen, like, who's going to get that? And you hope it's James Cook. I mean, they you know, even, like, look at Joe Mixon last week, and I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, he was a guy that I really wasn't interested and playing all that much, because I'm like, well, the Texans are going to be down. So, you know, maybe he gets game scripted out. But, I mean, they kind of stuck to, like, what was working, and it ended up being, you know, a closer game than, you know, what was predicted. And so they were in a neutral game script and just let, you know, Mixon take advantage. And so if Cook's going to be out there, and, like, he is the best, like, option outside of what they, you know, if Allen's not passing it, like, giving it to Cook is the next best option. And this is a, you know, we know how much this game is going to mean to the Bills. And so I think you got to have your best players on the field. And I like where your head's at, Kev. Yeah, I think, you know, when you're starting to build out lineups and you want to, you know, you want to play Terry McLaurin, you want to play A.J. Brown, like, even if you want to play Devonta Smith, it gets really kind of tough to pay up at both of the running back spots, you know, with Saquon being that one. So, you know, you got to get real creative if you're going to do that. Which could lead to some other chalky plays, which I'm not too excited about, but we'll talk about them later. But yeah, I think running back's pretty straightforward to me. Like I said, I think I'm going to go Barkley, see what I could do. I do like the idea of getting up to Cook. And if I don't, I think I take a chance on one of these Washington guys and possibly even Ty Johnson with the run back there and Mahomes stacks, and just hope that, you know, Mahomes is, if he's doing his thing and they're up by, you know, a touchdown or two, it makes Allen want to pass more, and they might need to have, you know, a guy like Ty Johnson on the field who's been really solid in the playing time that he's been getting. But obviously Ray Davis being there is frustrating. Is there any merit to, like, you know, Samaje Perine in Patrick Mahomes stacks, Kev, this week, with, you know, if, or maybe even like playing him on an Allen team, if you think that, you know, the Bills are up and the Chiefs are playing from behind, could we see more, you know, Perine instead of like third down splits?
Perine tends to be the third down back. So it's a very much a Jerick McKinnon type-ish role, but without the like red zone usage, because like that's what Jerick McKinnon's role was like he was the third down back, and then he would also be in like the 2 minute and the red zone type role, which he's not getting that. He's basically just getting the third down option, which he definitely could. Like it wouldn't surprise me if he ripped off a 30-yard touchdown, you know, pass, or I should say 30-yard run, but a 30-yard touchdown completion from Mahomes, like something that is definitely not out of the range of possibilities. And so like it would really depend on like how many lineups you're playing. You know, are you max entering, like, you know, the, you know, 20 entry max, something like that? And yeah, sprinkling in some of these one-off plays, I think it's fine. But if you're only planning on running a couple lineups, like, I couldn't get there because I just think it's too thin. But like I said, if you're going to be max entering something, then yeah, I definitely would want to take some shots, because it's not crazy to think that one of these that he could get, you know, see, like I said, like a 20, 30-yard reception for a touchdown, and he ends up being like an optimal play on a slate like this where it could go a lot of different directions. So that's the way I would do it.
Sure. Yeah. Fair. No, just wanted to bring him up, because I think he, you know, he's probably the cheapest guy that I think would be in the mix for, you know, a slate like this. And in the lineups that we play, obviously, you know, anything could happen in the Millie. So, you know, maybe we see Reggie Gilliam like be in the Millie winning lineup, who knows? But yeah, fun slate to talk about when we're talking about running backs. And I think it's pretty straightforward there. Let's talk about the wide receivers, Kevin. Let's bring back I know you had it up before, but Big Rob 7489 comment of if Hollywood and Worthy score the touchdowns for Mahomes, does Kelce become even more optimal to have? I think if Hollywood Brown and Worthy are getting most of the action, that probably takes away from what Kelce is doing. I mean, he could still, you know, be there between the 20s, and we know he's definitely been a guy that Mahomes has leaned on, but you really, you know, what gets you excited about playing, you know, Kelce at his price tag is that, you know, you hope the production is going mostly towards them. And again, you know, to like, not to dumb it down, but, you know, with football, like, the ball can only go somewhere, right? So if you're playing, you know, if you're playing these guys, you know, you're thinking these guys have the chance to get, you know, double digit points, score the touchdown, 20 points. And if they score, then, you know, they're the only guy that can score. So I think if you have two of those guys, it does make it tough to necessarily say that he's going to be optimal. But I think, you know, if we start to talk about Mahomes scoring like three or four touchdowns and you getting to, you know, two, three Chiefs, you know, in your stacks, I think that's where it really becomes beneficial if you're able to get those guys right. But yeah, the wide receiver position, Kev, like I said, I mean, definitely loading up on that back game, even at the wide receiver spot. So I think Shakir is definitely by far and away my favorite play to be able to get to. I do like Worthy as well at 5,500. I think he's just been he's just been such a guy. And I just think about these games, you know, who's popped off for the Chiefs against the Bills, you know, and it's the Tyreek Hills, the Rashee Rices, like, you know, these guys who just can just do everything and just could take the top off of a defense at any time. And I definitely think Worthy has that upside in him. I think they'll try and scheme some, you know, probably rushing plays to get him the ball, get a ball in his hands. And I definitely like this matchup for him at 5,500. I think it is interesting to kind of talk about the Hollywood Brown between DeAndre Hopkins split. I think we expected Hollywood Brown to be really popular last week. I don't remember what it came out as compared to DeAndre Hopkins, and didn't work out either way because neither one of them really, you know, amounted to anything. But there were so many misplays for Hollywood Brown that could have really changed the outcome, you know, of his outlook for him in the box score if they were able to connect on some things there. And when we look at his price tag, you know, at only 4,200 this week, I think he still is interesting to me, just knowing how much work he was getting schemed. But again, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, I mean, they brought this guy in for a reason. You know, this could be the time. But DeAndre Hopkins is kind of like, even though we've seen it this year with him, he's in that Amari Cooper bucket for me, Kev, where it's like, man, I've just been going back to the well, and it hasn't amounted to much. Is this the week? It definitely could be. All the Chiefs guys are cheap, so they definitely are exciting to get to. Where it becomes interesting to me, and I'll toss it over to you, Kev, is if I have to play Commanders guys, if I'm not playing Jaden Daniels, it makes it really tough for me to get to McLaurin. I mean, he is such a stud, and I think this is, you know, a really tough matchup in the secondary for him, but he's going to get looks. But if I'm playing McLaurin, then I'm thinking he, you know, is going to the moon, and I'm going to want Jaden Daniels in that instance. I think if I'm not, I definitely get to some Diame Brown, even at 4,400. I think, you know, the role that he's carved out for himself is really solid. So he's my Washington Commanders receiver. And then on the Philly side, I've been playing this dude all year, and I'm just going to continue to go back to him. It's Devonta Smith. He's only 5,800 compared to what you're playing for AJ Brown. It's an $1,000 discount, and you might need that salary. And again, it's kind of one of those things, like if AJ Brown is smashing, I'm probably going to want Hurts, but I could see a scenario where, you know, Devonta Smith at 5,800, you know, if the ball just goes his way, and that's really what you're kind of just banking on in these scenarios, then, you know, he really ends up, you know, giving you some salary relief for your lineup that you feel really good about. And I, you know, I just like probably like getting exposure to the cheaper option because of what I'm doing at tight end. So, yeah, that's what it's looking like for me. It's so hard to trust any of these Buffalo Bills guys outside of Khalil Shakir. But the one guy who I do have interest in is Mac Hollins. He's only 3,300, but this dude is on the field a shit ton, and he gets some red zone looks, probably not at the same rate of Keon Coleman, but he definitely, you know, Allen is kind of look, you know, he looks his way. He looks to see if he's going to be open. And he's only 3,300. He makes for an interesting play for me. I'm not sure I'll get there in my single entry teams, but if I needed the salary relief, I'd probably be going to him next out of these guys. How are you looking at the wide receiver slate, and what are you doing this week?
Yeah, I mean, AJ Brown, I think, is probably the best wide receiver play, but also is the most one of the more volatile ones at his cost, because he's $6,800. Now, $6,800 for AJ Brown is way too cheap, right? Like, this is a player we typically. Crazy. But so with him, I mean, the last time the CC played, again, it's hard to take because that was when Kenny Pickett was playing, but he was targeted 15 times, 8 catches, 97 yards score. He absolutely annihilated Marshawn Lattimore, because that was Marshawn Lattimore's first game back, I believe, with the Commanders. But he just ate his lunch. And so, you know, if I feel like that this is a game that, like, I feel like he's also a solid one-off piece, because I don't think a lot of people are going to want to pay for him. I think everybody's going to go in one direction, and they're going to want to pay down at wide receiver and not get up to A.J. Brown. And A.J. Brown can definitely wreck this slate. Like, I mean, he would shock me one bet if he ended up scoring 30 DK points. And so, like, I want to try to find ways to get to him. So I do like AJ Brown. In terms of the wide receivers, you know, if you look last week, it's like the Chiefs won only threw the ball 25 times. So, like, that should be taken into consideration. But still, It was pretty much the Xavier Worthy, Travis Kelce show. Xavier Worthy actually led the team with first read target share, 35% compared to Kelce, who was at 29%. The next closest was Hollywood at 11% in terms of first read target share. And then basically the way they're using Xavier Worthy is he is the gadget. They're going to scheme him up any ways they can. He had an average depth of target last week of 0.7 last week, an average air yard share or a market share of air yards of 2.5%. Where they were using Kelce and Hollywood Brown more down the field. Hollywood Brown had that play where it looks like he caught it, then it got ripped out at the end. That should have been a 30-40-yard gain. But they just didn't really need to open this offense up at all. Like, they didn't do anything new. It was still a very vanilla offense. I think this is going to be the time. Like, if they've been holding stuff back, this is going to be the time that they're going to unload the kitchen sink in this game against the Bills. And so it's hard to take away a lot from that game because of the way that they played. Because, like, DeAndre Hopkins, he only ran 41% of the routes, and which was one of the lowest, I think, going all the way back to, like, his first game as a Chief. Like, clearly, he just wasn't involved in the offense, was only targeted once. Hollywood Brown was only targeted twice in this game. Like, I think all those things changed. So I think you could fit into these guys. I'm not as bullish on DeAndre Hopkins as I was last. I mean, I had a lot of DeAndre Hopkins. I played, like, 60% DeAndre Hopkins, and that did not work out because I felt like they were going to have to throw the ball more than they had to. But I think sprinkling in some of these lower Chiefs players like Hollywood Brown, Hopkins, I think is definitely fine. But yeah. I definitely want to, you know, be much higher in my exposure to Xavier Worthy among the pass catchers here for the Chiefs. Completely agree. I think Diami Brown, like, especially recently, has, like, where it was Olamide Zaccheaus for, like, a 2 or 3 week stretch, it has now completely flipped to Diami Brown, who's now been targeted 13 times his last two games, scored double-digit DK points the last two games. I don't think that means you can't play Olamide Zaccheaus, but Diami Brown, even going back to the last time these two teams faced, he also saw, I think, another 5 targets in that game. And so, and just last week, I mean, he was definitely one of the preferred options here for the Commanders. And so Diami Brown at cost, I think, is definitely something I'd be looking at. And it, like, I was trying to find, like, a cheap option. Like, I don't really feel great about any of them. Like, you could sprinkle in a Keon Coleman and hope he catches a long touchdown. The Chiefs have been susceptible at times to, you know, the deep ball. You also have Curtis Samuel, who they've kind of been working back in. But, like, nobody here stands out to me. Like, if I can avoid playing any of the sub 3, you know, 4K wide receivers, I would like to do that. Because none of these guys really stand out to me. Like, if you wanted to play a one-off Justin Watson, sure. You know, we know that, you know, at times the Patrick Mahomes will look for him in the red zone, but it is a very volatile play. Can go a lot of different directions. He has just as big of a chance of scoring 0 as he does scoring 10. So I just don't really love any of the lower tier guys in terms of the sub 4K. Like, I think you could sprinkle them in, but I wouldn't want to be overweight on any of them.
Yeah, that's fair. I completely agree. It definitely makes it tough. Obviously, you know, anytime you're taking a quarterback, you take a chance on the cheap dude who's tied to him. I think that's fine. I wouldn't play any. Oh, I shouldn't say that because I do have interest in Matt Collins, but it does make it tougher to, you know, play these guys without it being tied to your quarterback. That's really what you want there. Love the context of Diami Brown, though, because I think that people look, you know, his price tag has been going up. But when you think about what his role is in the offense and what this game, you know, this game script is kind of telling us, then, yeah, it makes a ton of sense to be able to get to him. He's $2,300 less than Terry McLaurin and, you know, definitely has a chance of outscoring him. So it really, you know, it really makes it very, very easy to be able to, you know, talk yourself into clicking on him and feeling really good about it come this late. Let's talk about tight end, Kev. And, you know, I mean, is it, you know, is it Travis Kelce and the rest of the crew? It might be. Travis Kelce comes at the top. He's 6K. Showed you, you know, why this dude is just honestly like turning into the playoff GOAT, man. He's the postseason GOAT when it comes to, you know, pass catching. You know, Jerry Rice obviously is one of the greatest of all times. And, you know, we've had that conversation about who is the greatest receiver of all time, Kev. I think we have sided on the Randy Moss side of that. But, you know, can't take away numbers from people. And I've always said that. So Jerry Rice is the GOAT until he gets the throne. But when you look at the numbers, like Travis Kelce needs, I believe, 225 yards, 220 something yards to pass him all time postseason receiving. The touchdowns, I believe he just, you know, got touchdowns or receptions. He just got to that mark last week. And we know what time, like, it really feels like, you know, Patrick Mahomes and this guy are just, you know, they just are on the same page. It's just, you can't stop them. And when they get going, it's just what you want to have. Like, you want to have your lineups be reflected as such. And so even at 6K, gets a little bit of a price hike, but still, you know, relatively reasonable, and makes a ton of sense to just get into your lineups at the tight end position. And even if you're not playing Patrick Mahomes, you're just hoping that all the equity, you know, that the Chiefs are able to do on offense, you know, goes through this guy. And they've shown us time and time again that that's the way that they want to play it. So makes a ton of sense to get to him. Now, after Travis Kelce, it gets a little bit interesting. I think we're going to have, you know, a lot of people, a lot of optimizers saying that Dalton Kincaid should be the next, you know, favorite at only 3,600. This matchup against the Chiefs, they've been gotten by tight ends all year. And so I think it's only reasonable that this guy projects well on paper. The problem is that the snap counts really have not been there for Dalton Kincaid. And I know you look into that stuff like more than I do, Kev, but it's been tough because I've wanted to play, you know, Dalton Kincaid. You know me, I'm always looking to get the tight ends tied to the quarterbacks. We talk about that a ton here on the DJ Nation podcast. But when you're playing Josh Allen, not only is it where he spreads the ball around, but they have just not been going to the tight ends at all, you know, even when they get into the red zone. So it really makes a tough click to play Dalton Kincaid. I get why he's going to be popping up because of, you know, again, all the metrics are going to say that. But I'm not sure that I'm going to find myself getting there. I can pay, it is $900 more, but I do like the upside of what Dallas Goedert offers, especially, you know, with him being on the injury report. Now, he's dealing with this ankle. You know, I know he's been limited in practice, but I fully expect him to go. I mean, you know, Hurts is dealing with the knee and he's been limited, but he's going to be playing. Dallas Goedert has been, he's been honestly a stud, you know, for Jalen Hurts, you know, through the postseason tenure for this Eagles team, really has been relied on, you know, in the playoffs to be, you know, putting up production. When I'm looking at, you know, you're looking at, what is this, like four catches, 56 yards in the playoffs here. He's got four touchdowns in the postseason, and just is really, you know, even when you're going back, you know, and looking at their run to the Super Bowl, you know, he had some decent outings there to be able to get you, you know, 10 or 12 points there. So at a $4,000 price tag, you're feeling pretty good about that. And even with the way the offense has been playing right now, like, if it's hard to trust AJ Brown, you know, let's just take a shot on Dallas Goedert and save some salary there. So he's probably my next favorite after Kelce to be able to get in line. Noah Gray's only 3K. And I do think there's some merit to him. It makes it tough. Like, do you want two Chiefs tight ends on your lineups? I wouldn't play Noah Gray necessarily over Kelce. But, I mean, you look back at what the Bills were able to do. I guess they limited, you know, Travis Kelce as best they could in that matchup in the regular season. And that led to Noah Gray scoring twice. I don't think that, you know, it's hard to be a victim, you know, to the box score. You don't want to just be victim of that and think that that can happen again. But I think there's some merit to say, like, well, you know, Noah Gray, he's shown a propensity to have a rapport with Mahomes. And if he can, you know, if he can get into something, it's an intriguing play at 3K only. It definitely gives you some salary relief to be able to play up in some other spots. So I am looking at him. And then outside of those four guys, I should say Zach Ertz as well. I see a static extract in the chat mentioning Zach Ertz. And yeah, Zach Ertz is definitely always live. He's only 4,300. I was looking at Zach Ertz price tag. Goddard's just $200 more at 4,500. But yeah, Ertz is definitely live. It I probably don't get there unless I'm playing Jaden Daniels stacks, to be perfectly honest. But you know me, good revenge narrative. He's going against the team where he started his career with in Philly. Like, yeah, it could always be live there. And you definitely, he definitely has a red zone role as well too. So yeah, I think at 4,300, he definitely makes for a fine play. But for me, I'll probably start with Kelce and Goddard first. What say you, Kev, at the tight end position?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, we're not going to Kelce. I mean, he's just clearly the best play in terms of just volume, everything else. I mean, if it's possible the Bills try to take him away. We had, that's where Noah Gray would become live at 3K. But, like, in terms of the usage for the Bills tight ends, I mean, it's, you know, especially in the playoffs so far, it's been a pretty much a 50-50 split between Kincaid and Dawson Knox. And I think the frustrating thing is this team – doesn't really use 12 personnel. I mean, they're right near the bottom of the league in terms of how often they use 12 personnel. And so, like, these guys just aren't on the field at the same time a lot together. And so, like, it's cutting into both of them. And so, like, I would love to say Kincaid. Like I said, like, I tried to get on them last week. I tried to play a decent amount of them last week, and it just obviously didn't get there. Again, they didn't really throw the ball as much. And so, you know, that takes away some of it. Like, I don't mind playing Dalton Kincaid, but I also think Dawson Knox is just as much in play, but he's also, you know, over $1,000 cheaper. And so, like, I think both of those guys are plays you can look at. Zach Ertz is phenomenal. Dallas Goedert, excuse me. Obviously a great play there. $4,500, just pretty cheap. I mean, he's not someone that's probably going to see some massive amount of targets, just because it's not really the way that they utilize. But this is also a team that doesn't throw the ball as much, but still, I think you can still lock him in for probably 5 to 6 targets. I think it's pretty fair and at cost. I mean, the opportunity to score a touchdown is there. Like, if I had to rank these guys, obviously Kelce would be one, and then I'd go probably Goddard two. And then I would love to say one of the Bills tight ends, because like I said, that's how you beat the Chiefs, is like tight ends consistently. Yeah. We saw last week, Dalton Schultz, you have his moments last week. And I just don't have a great lead for either one of these tight ends. So I guess if I was max entering something, I would probably just equally just kind of sprinkle them into lineups, because I definitely think one of these guys definitely has a shot of getting there and being in the optimal lineup. There's just not really a lean, because they've just basically split everything down the middle. And maybe, you know, if you are playing – if you're obviously playing Saquon, you want to get some of these other guys in, maybe mixing in Dawson Knox at $2,600 isn't necessarily a bad thing to do because of how cheap he is. You know, because they're essentially, like I said, playing about the same amount of routes, seeing a similar target share. So if he can just find the end zone, that's how he becomes optimal. So, like, I don't mind that. And then Zach Ertz is, again, last week, 5 catches, 28 yards, score. Yeah, he has been somebody that's been scoring a lot of touchdowns, especially recently, has scored 4 touchdowns over his last 4 games. So, like, Ertz is also a play. But I feel the best about Kelce and Goddard, though. Those are the two that I feel the best about.
Yeah, I'll probably start there in single entry. But I do love that call out of Knox versus Kincaid, especially with, Kincaid just being the lead option and being the one who's going to stand out on paper the most. But when you look into the numbers there, and even it started in Denver too. I mean, in the Denver game, Knox was out there, a lot more than Kincaid was. So I'm really not sure, what the behind the curtain, what's going on there behind the scenes with those two guys. But we know, I mean, Dawson Knox, before Kincaid was drafted, like, this was a dude who Allen leaned on, in the time there and in the playoffs. So, yeah, love that call out at 2,600 off to look into.
I think some of it, too, is probably just his ability. Like, they probably trust him a little bit more in pass protection. And so, like, that's why he tends to be on the field, a lot more or as much in certain situations. So, yeah, I mean, I think it just opens the door for him. I think at least he should be on people's radar.
Definitely. Kev, let's talk about defense, man. And this is one that's been tripping me up the whole time. And I know that we say, like, we take the defense who's cheap, or we take the defense that fits in our lineup because it's, you just need the turnovers. And that's been true, man. I mean, if you played the Washington Commanders last week against the Detroit Lions, even though that they're expected to score points, like, 5 turnovers is going to get it done every time. And, even a team like the Rams, the way that they were able to, they were getting some sacks as well in a tougher matchup. And so, I guess – I guess I do start with the Commanders and see what I can do with my lineups and build around it, because I'm on that game being low scoring. Yeah, like the turnovers have been in their favor, and I don't think it's sustainable. Like, they're only 2,700, so I can take a shot on them. I think the next area that I'd probably be willing to go, I think the Eagles come in as most popular, Kev. I don't know how you feel, but they're 3,300, and, you know, they're a home game against Jaden Daniels. I think that, you know, what they're able to do, people will talk themselves into that. And so I'll just take the $200 discount and see if the Chiefs can do something here. I mean, their best shot to be able to win this game outside of, you know, Patrick Mahomes doing what he does best is limiting Josh Allen. Like, can they force the Buffalo Bills into turnovers? Can they hold them? Can they, you know, get sacks on them? Like, what can they do to be able to kind of hold up front? And this KC team defense has played really well at home. I mean, they've played really well in the playoffs, you know, over the course of time. And, you know, even if they allow points, like, if we can get some sacks and we can get some turnovers here, I'd be willing to take a shot on them. And they've been really solid on special teams as well too, you know, almost getting a kick return last week for a touchdown to open up the game. Like, I'd be willing to take a shot at some shots on them at a $200 discount, and especially what the ownership discount I expect to be. I don't know how many people will be getting there, because you're probably stacking up, you know, you're wanting offense in that game if you're playing it, and it makes it hard. So I think that we'll see, you know, it's kind of been the theme of the postseason thus far, right, Kev? It's like taking the defenses early and just not having to think about it and hope they pan out. Like, we saw from the Texans, you know, game, and the Chargers not too long ago, that game was expected to be low scoring, so people loaded up on those defenses. And then last week, like, even if you took shots on the Texans D, you know, people are taking shots on the Chiefs D. Those, you know, worked out for you fairly well. Chiefs got 14 because they got all those sacks late. And even, you know, with the Commanders, and I think another team got 17, like, you still felt pretty good about it. So, yeah, I mean, it's a fun one to kind of talk about. But I think those are my two favorites. How are you feeling about defense this week?
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind the Commanders' call. They are a blitz-heavy defense, so they're definitely going to be looking to bring pressure on this offense. And if Jalen Hurts is limited at all and can't be as mobile in the pocket, then I think that could definitely lend itself to them needing to a little more sacks. And, you know, this offense, our defense, has been very opportunistic. They are top 10 in turnovers per offensive drive this year as well. So the Commanders' defense, I don't mind that call at all at $2,700. And then, you know, you could probably even make a case if you wanted to for the Bills defense, just because how the Chiefs offensive line struggles this year. I do think you probably see the Chiefs try to get rid of the ball as quickly as possible. A lot of like Deke and Dunk type of offense here. And so, but I don't hate it, because I definitely wouldn't be shocked if, you know, they come up and get, you know, three or four sacks in this game and maybe, you know, possibly cause a turnover that leads to a touchdown, like, definitely live here. So, $2,900. I don't mind that either, but I would prefer probably to go Eagles or Commanders.
Yeah, I agree, and I think another fun way to do it is, like, you know, taking the, you know, I think the people mostly build their lineups right where you don't have a lot of offense exposure against the defense that you're choosing. So, like, if you're, you know, don't be afraid if you're playing that Eagles D, even if they're chalky, like, to stack up the Washington Commanders against them. Don't be afraid to take the Chiefs defense or Bills defense and stack up one of those teams against them, because it is only a two-game slate. So, like, we could still see, you know, the most optimal defense, even if they allow points, you know, being in the winning lineup. And that's a way that, you know, we always talk about that in Showdown as well too, because it kind of is counterintuitive, but it you know, tends to work out sometimes more often than not. So just wanted to call that out for the people. Kev, you got any final thoughts about the slate before we build our lineup and get on out of here for the people?
No, just try to, I think, just pick whatever game that you feel like that has the best shot of, you know, going nuclear, and just stacking it up, stacking the hell out of it. You know, maybe only having a defense or, you know, defense and running back or whatever for another team, and then just going all in on one game. I think that's probably going to be the most optimal approach.
Yeah, I love that call. Love that thought, Kev, and we'll see if that comes to fruition. on our lineup team. Guys, you know how we do it. We always submit a lineup on DraftKings that we build out on the show to be able to get some action and just reflective of our thoughts on the slate and how it's doing. And even though Maddie's not here, we'll definitely get some exposure to Bills and Commanders just for him, just so that he has some stake in the game. And don't worry, guys, Maddie will be back for our Super Bowl show, which we'll be doing as well. So can't wait to be breaking down the big game with you guys, and we help you rock along. Thanks for everybody who is rocking along tonight. Kev, let's get this lineup in and start it off, man. How are we building it? What are we doing?
Well, let's just make it easy. I'm talking Saquon Barkley.
Let's do it. Let's get I'm gonna go Worthy.
Well, let's just go all in then. I'll just go with Mahomes.
We're doing the double stack. We're going Kelce too.
Let's go James Cook.
All right, so let's see what we can do. So 42.50 per. So let's go Diami Brown. Get some salary relief on this team. 4,200 for wide receiver flex and defense.
Let's go Goddard. Let's go double tight end. Or
we can make it work. Hold on. Let's see.
I don't know how you feel about it, but we could go Dawson Knox, like I said, and then that would leave 7,300 instead of going Goddard. And then you could play AJ Brown if you so feel inclined. Or we could go a little bit more balanced. Go with Goddard. And that would still leave $5,400 too. If we went Commanders D, I guess I left that part out.
Who did you have? AJ Brown with Knox?
Yeah.
And Commanders D?
Yeah.
500 on the table?
Yeah. Because it only leaves $3,100 remaining.
Right, which would be Chiefs D. I'm not opposed to that.
Oh, you mean going Knox and then locking in the Chiefs?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
100 left on the table. All right, so the team, it looks like as of right now, is going to be Mahomes, Barkley, Cook, Worthy, Diami Brown, AJ Brown, Kelce, Dawson Knox, and Chiefs D, with $100 remaining left on the table. So, yeah, looks like I guess in a way that's kind of thinking that's going to be a Chiefs-Eagles rematch potentially, what we have there. But, no, it's a fun one. It's a fun one to break down. So we're going to enter that in. As always, you know, we're going to share this with you guys. If you're in the Discord, guys, the Discord is free. And I know we've been loving having everybody who's over there. There's so many channels that are in the Fantasy Authority Discord for you guys. At @FF_authority is where you can find us on Twitter next. Discord link is in the description here. If you're watching on YouTube, or even if you're listening on podcast, go into the description and get that link to join our Discord. The off season, honestly, is where things get so amped up in the Discord, which kind of seems counterintuitive, but like guys and gals are talking best ball in there. They're talking, you know, the draft, they're talking dynasty all season long. It's a really fun community to be a part of. And I definitely learned a lot from those guys there, especially when DFS isn't going. We're going to be at the end of that real soon, but we talk about NBA DFS and MLB DFS and things like that. But, you know, from a football perspective, you're really getting some exposure to people's thoughts, you know, all year round. And so it's a fun community to be in. As you see the link going out right there, shout out to the Godfather, always getting the work in. But yeah, Fantasy Authority chat is going to be fun. Shout out to everybody who is rocking along with us live too, and all year who's been rocking along with us live in the chat. We really appreciate that. We appreciate, you know, the community that's staying strong here for the DJ Nation. And we do this for fun. We do it for shits and giggles. Just take time out of our days to be, you know, talking about what we'd be talking about together. So we just bring it to the masses, and it's been a fun ride. It's been a fun ride. We got one more show breakdown for you. It's going to be that big game. Can't wait to see who's going to be playing. But yeah, Kev, any last words for the people before we sign out?
Showdown Slate, you know, the Super Bowl Showdown Slate will be fun. And then I remember we used to play the Pro Bowl like back in the day. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah, back when the Pro Bowl was fun.
That's how you know how much of a DJ you are when you're playing Showdown, or not Showdown, but when you're playing the Pro Bowl game.
Dude, it used to just load up on the tight ends, dude. It used to be a print fest, man.
And I think everybody was the exact same amount. I think it was like kind of like preseason, pretty much.
Yep. No, yeah. Those were fun times. Those were fun times. So yeah, but no, we'll be loading up on the showdown slate. Whoever those two teams end up being, and it should be a fun Sunday of football to be able to watch. So signing off for Kevin Steele, like I said, the Godfather. You can find him on Twitter and X at FantasyRoute13. Myself, Ryan Williams at RyanAlexander_W is where you can find me on Twitter and X. It's the NFL DFS Conference Championship Breakdown on the DGEN Nation Podcast. Thank you guys. You know what to do. Get that money. We'll see you in the streets. Till then, peace. Know who you're talking to.
Big man, I'll treat you like you're a little man. Don't tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. But that's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.